Songs of the Ages is an afternoon of music on Sunday, 5 p.m. at Mendocino Arts Center to benefit the center. And a large animal evacuation plan is being prepared by the County of Mendocino Animal Care Services to be included in the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office of Emergency Operations Plan. It's especially important for horse and livestock owners to be involved in this emergency planning. The next meeting is in Ukiah on Monday from 6 till 8 p.m. at 1120 South Doris Street. To submit a public service announcement and to check out our complete events calendar, please visit our website, kzyx.org, and please call 895-2233 with your pledge of financial support.
And thank you very much, Beth. We always appreciate the work that Beth Lang does on our community calendar. It's a way to get your PSAs and information out there and kind of connect our community together. If you're a fan of the community calendar, another reason to call 895-2233, 895-2233. And so many have. We want way over $1,600 during morning edition, and we really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Want to get some quick thank yous in before we start Takes on the World with Jeff Blankford, who's coming on to the mic. Nathan Tucker of Ukiah, want to thank you. He appreciates all the station does. We thank him very much, Nathan. Also want to thank Sid, I think it's Hillman from Fort Bragg. Thanks, and don't forget the benefit of the Fort Bragg Hospital fundraiser this weekend. And yeah, that's another example. You know, of hospitals around the area look to us to help advertise their fundraisers. In this case, Fort Bragg, because they know that this is a chance to get the community connected to help support all of the other nonprofits in the area. And that's one of the services we do at KZYX, and we do it because we think it's important. We do it because we are your community radio station, but we do it only with your support. We absolutely need to hear from you right now at 895-2233. And I want to thank Kim, enjoys NPR, and another late pledge on the NPR Morning Edition run, and we really appreciate Kim's contribution and everyone who has called in. We've got an exciting program lined up with Takes on the World. We know so many of you count on this program to keep you informed on what's going on internationally and nationally, and we've got some great premiums coming up connected with the program for just a $100 contribution during Takes on the World with Jeff Blankford, and we will be hearing Joy LeClaire a little later. You could get the 911 Explosive Evidence Expert Speak Out DVD. This is a $100 contribution. It's a fantastic DVD that gives you kind of the inside story or the backroom story that happened around 9/11 and all the evidence that's been gathered since the 9/11 tragedy, and now has slowly dwindled out into the public, and now we have it's been all put together on one DVD. It's an outstanding DVD. Again, 9/11 Explosive Evidence Expert Speak Out. That's a $100 contribution, and that is yours. So call right now, 895-2233, 895-2233. You can also go to our website, kzyx.org, and you do have a chance to pick out that same DVD of 9/11 Explosive Evidence or any of the other great thank you gifts that we have. Most of them run from around $75 contribution on up, and this one here, $100 contribution for this great DVD. Call now. We really like to get Takes on the World. It has a goal of $1,500 and 20 calls. We'd love to be able to see us do that. It has performed well over the years because so many of you appreciate the work that Jeff and Joy have done to put this spot together Wednesday afternoons, hearing great interviews, hearing great insight. Call now, 895-2233. And without any further ado, Jeff Blankford.
And good morning, Mendocino. This is Jeff Blankford. Welcome you to the October 24th fundraising edition, fall fundraising edition of Takes on the World and Joy LeClaire's Forthright Radio. Two public affairs programs that come your way the second and fourth and first and third Wednesdays of every month, respectively. Support for Takes on the World comes from our members and Corners of the Mouth, celebrating 35 years serving the county. As many go back to school, Corners offers nutritious meals and snacks, teas and remedies, supporting active good health for all ages, organic fresh produce, and lots of gluten-free products. Open daily 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the Red Church on Ukiah Street in Mendocino and cornersofthemouth.com. As you know by now, dear listeners, KZYX is right in the middle of our annual fall fundraising drive, and as we come to you this morning, we are almost halfway to our goal of $120,000, $57,000 plus $700 so far. And this is just the second of just two days out of the entire year when you get not only the kind of program you have come to expect from Joy and myself, but also a chance to show your material support for that programming and for this listener-driven radio station that puts us on the air each week just for you. Many of you have told me over the years, both on the air and in person, how much you appreciate Takes on the World, and your kind words of support are always welcome and appreciated. But given that, as you've heard more than once during this pledge drive, only 1 in 10 listeners to public radio are paid subscribers. And I sometimes wonder how many of you also support me and the station with your money. And with the exception of 2 mornings a year, I'm usually too embarrassed to ask you. But today I'm going to ask you. This happens to be one of those mornings, and so I'm asking you to pledge some of your hard-earned income to keep KZYX and KZYZ alive and thriving, and inspiring Joy and me to continue bringing you the kind of information and in-depth interviews you have come to expect on both our programs and which you are not likely to hear on any other radio station. You've been coming through with your support for both of us and for KZYX whenever we've asked you to do so in the past, and we and all the folks here at the station and those wonderful volunteers in the phone room are counting on you to keep them busy again today, and the table out there is full. And even though you probably know the number even better than I do, it's 895-2233, 895-2233. And if you don't want to miss any of today's programs, you can pledge online at kzyx.org. And actually, right now, we have a anonymous challenge from Yorkville for $100 to Takes on the World on Forthright Radio. So that means if you contribute $100 or two of you contribute $50 each or $245 each and one $5, in any case, $100 anonymous in Yorkville will match that your pledges and give us an extra $100. So that's a $100 pledge. That's actually the first pledge I've ever had on my program. Appreciate that. Okay. Remember, basic memberships are $45, but anything you can give will be appreciated. And if you're already a contributor to other programs, we urge you to give us a little more with what's called an add-on, and it's also Bill of the Month. As usual, during our fund drive, we have something very special to offer you, and today is no exception. It's a DVD entitled 9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak Out. One of the most discouraging phenomena of this new century has been the refusal of our leading alternative media, not to mention the mainstream media, to countenance any discussion or questioning of the Bush administration's narrative of the events at the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001, what at this point should be labeled the official conspiracy theory. Over the past 11 years, there's been no shortage of nutty theories concerning that attack, of which the official government explanation is as nutty as any. But now in this DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, you can see and hear the opinions of some of the more than 1,700 professional high-rise architects and structural engineers who, putting their reputations on the line, have challenged the notion that the World Trade Center towers were brought down by fires caused by the jet fuel of 2 hijacked airplanes, and who are demanding a new investigation of the events of 9/11 that, despite its name, the so-called 9/11 Commission definitely wasn't. Today you'll hear, in just a few moments, from San Francisco Bay Area architect Richard Gage, the man behind what has become known as 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth. Then I will play a selection from the DVD, which can be yours for a contribution of $100, all 88 minutes of it. You'll hear about 15 of it in a little bit after Richard Gage. When I last spoke with Richard Gage in November 2010, 1,372 architects and engineers had signed on with the organization, and now that number has grown to more than 1,700. I caught up with Mr. Gage an hour ago in the Midwest, where he was preparing for another presentation. And so I'm going to go right now to Richard Gage. Welcome, San Francisco Bay Area architect Richard Gage, member of the American Institute of Architects, AIA, and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, once again to Takes on the World. Here we are 11 years after the attack on the World Trade Center. And despite your efforts and those of more than 1,700 high-rise architects and structural engineers who have put their hard-earned reputations on the line by challenging the official government narrative of what happened that day in New York City, We seem no closer to having that genuine investigation of the attack on the World Trade Center that you and your colleagues at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth are calling for. And while references to 9/11 are heard throughout the presidential campaign, there's not the slightest hint 2 wars later that we in the world at large have been told a lie. How do you account for that?
Well, we have 1,700 architects and engineers staking their reputations on the evidence, the scientific forensic evidence, that all three World Trade Center high-rises were, in fact, brought down by explosive-controlled demolition, not by jet plane impacts and fires, as we have been told. And there is several hints that there's a lot of change happening. Remember, this is a global movement. There are millions in the 9/11 Truth movement, and they have been talking for 11 years amongst themselves, such that now, 11 years later, about 40% of the American people are aware that there is an issue and are talking to others about it. We are penetrating a large wall of denial and the people that are steeped in the public myth as given to us by the media and our government, but it is eroding slowly.
Well, I certainly believe that anyone who watches this, your DVD, the new DVD, which we're offering as a premium, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, cannot but come away convinced that these were controlled demolitions. And one of the things that I really appreciate about this DVD, it doesn't go into theories of who did it, but it just calls for an examination or rejection of the idea that two planes crashing into the World Trade Center towers can bring down not only those twin towers, but also a building that 47 stories, which is a high building, higher than most cities have, would have come down without even being hit. And this is what's really impressive, and also the quality of the people you have who could not be thrown in the bag of conspiracy theorists is very important to make.
Absolutely. We have credible technical professionals, and their largest concern, for most of them, myself included, the thing that gives it away is this 47-story skyscraper, which is World Trade Center 7, the third worst structural failure in modern history. And at 5:20 in the afternoon, this massive skyscraper drops like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically into its own footprint in the exact manner of a classic controlled demolition. So everybody who looks at it with a half of an open mind agrees, hey, this wasn't brought down by fire, and yet that's what we were told 7 years later in the official report that came out about the building, its destruction. A few small scattered office fires are going to bring a modern steel-framed skyscraper, 47 stories tall, at free-fall acceleration, straight down almost into its own footprint. Everybody knows this is a lie. So when we get their attention this way, and by the way, what also grabs their attention is the pools of molten iron found in the basement of this building. In fact, FEMA themselves documents the hot sulfur corrosion attack and liquid molten iron attack on the steel. Some of the ends of these beams have been evaporated. Well, normal office fires cannot do this, and yet normal office fires are the reason for this building's destruction. Office fires only get to be about half the temperature of the melting point of iron, which is about 2,800 degrees. So the official story makes no sense from beginning to end. And then we turn their attention toward the massive explosive destruction of the World Trade Center towers, where we have, in the first 4 seconds, the upper portion of the North Tower, for instance, above the point of jet plane impacts, about 12 stories. We're told this upper portion drove the rest of the building down to the ground, and yet none of the video evidence shows that. what it shows is that that upper portion is being destroyed itself in a sort of a miniature controlled demolition. It's telescoping in on itself, completely gone. And after that, in the next 8 seconds of this these buildings' 12-second destruction, is a massive explosive event hurling 4-ton perimeter wall units, these structural steel sections, massive sections, laterally at 60 miles an hour, most of them, landing 600 feet away. And then there's a series of violent explosions going on below this canopy of destruction, if you will, that are hurling pulverized building materials 160 to 200 feet per second. These are propelled by explosive seas. And so we have no stack of floors found at the bottom of either of these towers. What we have is a two-story pile of core columns, perimeter columns, miscellaneous debris. Where is the stack of pancakes? And what we're told is a gravitational collapse. It's completely gone. In fact, 90,000 tons of concrete is pulverized in midair before there's any development of gravitational potential energy down at the ground where you would expect it to be pulverized. But no, this massive quantity of concrete powder, like talcum powder, really, and file cabinets, probably 10,000 of them, which are missing, are pulverized into fine pieces laid all over lower Manhattan from river to river, a 3-square-mile area. And in that dust, USGS, the official government report on that dust, finds that it's full of iron microspheres. These are previously molten iron spheres, the diameter of a human hair. They're so ubiquitous, they call it a signature component of this World Trade Center dust. And why is it iron? This is not steel, melted steel. This is molten iron. Molten iron is the byproduct of thermite, an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. And this is what's found under Building 7 as well, and pools of iron underneath the World Trade Center towers and all of these spheres found by the USGS and other environmental consulting firms, for which they have no explanation whatsoever. And as if that's not enough, another team of international scientists finds in all the World Trade Center dust small particles of unignited nanothermite, a very high-tech form of thermite developed prior to 9/11 by the military. This is extremely small particles of iron oxide and aluminum powder intimately bound in the perfect percentage to become thermite. And this is extremely powerful material. It's an incendiary that's designed to have more explosive properties. So it should not be found in all the World Trade Center dust samples. And yet it is, and it's documented in a 24-page peer-reviewed paper in the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal. It stands uncontested. So we're being ignored by officials, not countered.
Now, none of this, of course, was included in the official U.S. Government 9/11 Commission report, I assume.
That's correct. They didn't even discuss the third worst structural failure in modern history, World Trade Center 7. It's pretty remarkable omission. And, of course, they did not discuss all of this molten material. They did not discuss the evidence of incendiaries found throughout the World Trade Center dust, the lateral ejection of these massive pulverized massive structural units. They didn't discuss the fact that no skyscraper has ever collapsed due to fire, and Building 7, of course, was not hit by an airplane.
Now, go ahead. I was going to say, Your architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth are calling for a federal investigation of this, correct?
Well, we're calling for a real investigation.
A real investigation.
Whether the federal government can provide that or not is another question, because they gave us the 9/11 Commission, after all, which did not bring hardly any of this evidence to light. It was a cover-up, as was the NIST reports of these three skyscrapers and their destruction. So we want an investigation that is unimpeachable, that offers immunity to bring forth witnesses, that takes their testimony under oath, and that uses all of the evidence and the scientific method relative to it to get to real scientific answers, which we have laid out in our DVD. As you mentioned earlier, 9/11 explosive evidence experts speak out, as 43 of these technical experts, high-rise architects, structural engineers, metallurgists, forensic engineers, controlled demolition experts, fire protection engineers, chemists, it goes on and on. They lay it out very, very clearly.
And they have put, you have put your reputation, they have put their reputations on the line in pushing for this investigation and bringing the truth to the American people.
Correct.
I think that's courageous and much to be admired. I think this, I've seen this DVD and which we are offering to our listeners today and throughout the rest of our pledge period, something that needs to be seen and pushed upon our elected officials to get to the bottom of this. Richard Gage, I want to thank you very much for being our guest today and for your courage and continue doing this great work.
Thank you so much. It's my honor to speak with your audience today.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Well, that was very good. Thank you. I think that was very good, very strong. Bye-bye.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That little extra was after I recorded this morning, and the CD situation wasn't working, so it was a little extra, little comment afterward to Mr. Gage, who actually watched or heard David Ray Griffin speak in 2006, who was a former guest on this program, talking about Building 7. And here's a successful architect in San Francisco, the Bay Area there, who's worked on high-rise structured buildings, who seems to now have devoted much of his life to rallying other architects and structural engineers who actually do not speculate. They know what they're doing. And this DVD is available to you for a pledge of $100. There's something actually, there's a bonus on, you can see this DVD online, but this is, to get the DVD package, it includes a two-hour bonus disc, Meet the Experts, which hosts videos of the 50 experts in the groundbreaking documentary. As you watch and listen to these experts introduce their significant credentials and personal experience about 9/11, you will understand how important it is that this story gets out to the American people. Now I'm going to play a clip, right, just a little clip that I made from the DVD for your listening pleasure.
I don't want to be involved in conspiracy theories. There are lots of them. They can go on. We can speculate on that forever. What we really need to know is how those buildings came down.
My husband Steve was 48 years old when he was killed on September 11th, 2001. He was in the North Tower on the 104th floor. There are so many unanswered questions, and that's scary to me. We never had answers. Nobody ever stopped to have a scientific investigation. A scientific investigation.
Tribute lights in the New York skyline, an annual memorial to the lives lost on 9/11. Yet there's still more light that needs to shine, revealing truths that their family members deserve to know. September 11th, 2001, a day that changed history. Four planes went silent and off course, Two of those planes crashed into the World Trade Center Twin Towers. Several columns were severed, and the jet fuel ignited fires that spread over several floors. About an hour later, millions watched in shock as both towers were suddenly and rapidly destroyed, killing almost 3,000 people, for whom truth and justice may have yet to be served. Hi, I'm Richard Gage, AIA, licensed architect of over 20 years and member of the American Institute of Architects. I'm founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, a nonprofit organization of well over 1,000 technical and building professionals. According to official government reports, the fires weakened the structural steel framing of both twin towers, leading to sudden, progressive, and total collapses. Unknown to most people, a third steel frame high-rise, World Trade Center 7, was also destroyed. Critical questions have been raised by more than 1,500 architects and engineers about the official explanations for the destruction of all three of these buildings. Along with more than 10,000 other concerned individuals, these professionals, collectively comprising more than 25,000 years of experience, have signed our petition. They're calling for a new investigation into the destruction of these three World Trade Center high-rises. This call is based on evidence that reveals a very different destruction scenario than reported by government engineers. This includes abundant scientific forensic data and eyewitness testimony that was omitted from the official reports. You'll be seeing this evidence and hearing from dozens of these technical experts, including many who are among the top in their respective fields.
I claim they're not doing science at all. They're doing propaganda or publicity or whatever they're doing, but it's not science. It's not playing by the rules of science.
We at AE 9/11 Truth take President Obama at his word in his affirmation to the American people during his inauguration. How do we accomplish this? We've done our best by using the scientific method, examining the evidence from the World Trade Center and developing unbiased conclusions from unbiased experts in their fields. Now, let's hear from the AE 9/11 Truth professional petition signers who will share with you what conclusions they came to. Among these experts are high-rise architects and engineers in the fields of structural design, material science, chemistry, fire protection, metallurgy, as well as physicists, explosives experts, and demolition technicians. Also, psychologists, therapists, and counselors, along with theologian David Ray Griffin.
We were confident, we felt secure, and all of a sudden that security collapsed.
So the question becomes why? Why is it that people have so much trouble hearing this information?
When your beliefs are challenged, fear and anxiety are created.
We don't have leaders who would do those things.
I believe that to be the kind of country that we think we are, we have to face some of the things that are not as we think they are.
We need the truth in order to heal.
The new World Trade Center, Building 7, looms above the site of its original. Building 7 was a 47-story high-rise, not hit by an airplane. Yet, it was the third modern steel-frame skyscraper to collapse rapidly and symmetrically on 9/11. It was a football field away from the North Tower and sustained minor damage from falling debris. Building 7's precipitous collapse was blamed on normal office fires.
I'm Steve Barish, founder and president of Barish Architects and Associates, Inc., a 33-year-old architecture, planning, and engineering firm. One of the things that really interested me is how quickly the Tower 7 fell. It fell within 7 seconds, approximately, from top to bottom. This building was built in the mid-80s and met all the codes at the time.
From about 1965 until about 1985, my
Most of my experience has been in a high-rise, multi-story steel buildings. NIST would have us to believe that these were was a typical office fire, scattered office fires, if you will, that brought this building down. Since the mid-60s, I've tried to follow high-rise fires because they're something we worry a lot about as we design these buildings. And I'm not aware of any high-rise building that have come down as a result of fires.
The coup de grace for me was when I found out that Building 7 had collapsed later that day. And when I saw Building 7 come down, to me, the fact that it looks like a perfect controlled demolition of an intact building, I mean, that's what I call a smoking gun.
Was the structural steel from World Trade Center 7 preserved, documented, analyzed according to standard procedures for investigating engineering failures?
400 truckloads per day of material were taken away from the World Trade Center site and sent to China for recycling.
There were laws violated in the destruction of that evidence. And for the American Society of Civil Engineers to ignore those events is extremely disturbing and is a violation, in my opinion, of their professional code of ethics.
It was contrary to the way all investigations are done. If an airplane crashes, they seal off the entire area and nobody touches anything. They move it to a secure location and they reconstruct an aircraft.
Normally, when you have a structural failure, you carefully go through the debris field, looking at each item, photographing every beam as it collapsed and every column where it is in the ground, and you pick them up very carefully and you look at each element. We were unable to do that in the case of Tower 7.
You can't do science when you are deprived of the evidence and when your hypothesis is the least valid instead of the most likely. When the most likely hypothesis in the case of Building 7 wasn't even mentioned, this is not science. It's trying to prove preconceived ideas.
Was a proper investigation performed that might have revealed the use of accelerants or explosives in World Trade Center 7's destruction?
NIST concedes that they found no evidence for explosives. So then we asked them, well, did you look? And they said, no, we did not look for explosives or residues of explosives.
Big explosion. Blew us back into the eighth floor.
I'm okay, all right? Here, hold on. You want to call your mother or something?
Just the fact that there were explosions means they need to be investigated.
Oh, boy. You hear that?
Keep your eye on that building. It'll be coming down.
The building is about to blow up. Move it back.
We are walking back. There's a building about to blow up.
We don't have the real story on what happened because there wasn't a proper investigation done.
World Trade Center 7 collapsed because of fires fueled by office furnishings. It did not collapse from explosives or from fuel oil fires.
As reported by the New York Times, engineers were baffled by the collapse of Building 7. Since no steel frame high-rise has ever completely collapsed due to fire, how are we to understand this mysterious event?
High-rise buildings simply do not collapse due to fire. There has never been, until 9/11, an experience where a high-rise building that was steel frame completely collapsed. There have been fires burned longer in similar structures without any collapse.
NIST claims the fires were very large, very hot, and long-lasting, when in reality, observation, which has been researched by many people, shows these fires did not last very long. They were not in the locations where NIST claims they were at given times.
I'm a fellow of the American Institute of Architects. For the 40 plus years that I've been practicing architecture, I have designed a variety of buildings, from small houses to high-rise office buildings. Some of the high-rises that I've worked on are one shell and two shell here in Houston. I was project manager for a 22-story office building in Akron, Ohio. Later in the day, when World Trade Center 7 collapsed, they had already showed us pictures of a few fires in that building, and I mean, they weren't even raging. And how could that cause a building to collapse as if it were imploded? Couldn't happen.
According to lead investigator Shyam Sunder of the National Institute for Standards and Technology, NIST, World Trade Center 7 collapsed at freefall acceleration for more than 100 feet of its fall. What does the speed of the collapse reveal to us?
Essentially, in less than 7 seconds, Tower 7 came down upon itself.
It's just like taking your car keys out and just dropping them. That's how fast the building came down, for over 100 feet. And the only way you can get that is when there's zero resistance. And so what we're looking at is a building just coming straight down, falling right through itself with zero resistance. Buildings don't have zero resistance, which is why you feel comfortable walking into a building.
This building had 40,000 tons of structural steel in its structural system, and that is intended to keep it from going anywhere.
NIST is telling us that the building below it ceased to exist for the first few seconds of the collapse of the building. Well, things in physics just don't cease to exist and cease to resist the forces that are on them. The building didn't disappear so the building can fall for 100 feet at free fall speed. That's impossible. That's a violation of the fundamental law of physics that says that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
If floors fall, they tend to fall and are braced by the floor directly beneath it. And there's some delay there.
Because of redundancy, because of all the other columns in the building that were not affected.
Even if a floor were to collapse, it still wouldn't be able to collapse all of the connections simultaneously at the rate that it did without secondary explosions.
We might anticipate that an unevenly damaged building would fall over. Yet, videos of the collapse of Building 7 show a fairly symmetrical fall. How do we make sense of this?
If the buildings had come down by fire, we would have seen a more natural progression of collapse.
And clearly, a more asymmetrical pattern should have been present.
The symmetry is the smoking gun. It cannot happen that when you have asymmetric damage, you will get a perfectly symmetrical collapse.
The exterior columns on the outside as well as on the inside, at the bottom would have to be severed almost at the same time.
I worked for Controlled Demolition Incorporated, CDI, the top-rated explosive demolition firm in the world. What I saw, it was a classic implosion. The center of the core, the penthouse area, starts to move first, and then the building follows along with it. That's another indicator that this report is very suspect.
When it's all finished, the outside walls are piled one on top of the other right in the middle of the building. Just like a house of cards if it were coming down.
According to NIST, the failure occurred at column 79 on level 12. This means basically they're talking about a single columnar collapse or failure that resulted in a total collapse of the building. That just does not make any sense.
The explanations from FEMA and from NIST don't add up. But there is enormous circumstantial evidence, circumstantial and actually physical evidence as well, that would lead us to a different conclusion. And the conclusion is controlled demolition.